you read with me, please, in John's Gospel, chapter 8? John, chapter 8. And we'll begin our reading at verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. One of these two passages that we have read tonight involves each person in the meeting. Only one. Either you will die in your sins, or you will die in the good of the tremendous truth, Christ died for our sins. The one describes the supreme tragedy in death. This is the worst possible end of life. There are people that have died as a result of tragic, overwhelming cruelty. There are people that have died suddenly, unexpectedly, tragically, sadly. I just happened to be looking this evening before I came out to the meeting at a newspaper clipping from way back in 1991.
It's religious. They are fully expecting that when they die, they will join the place of comfort with the spirits of those of their forebears that have gone before them. They are fully expecting the presence of God to be theirs forever. And could I tell you, it's as necessary in 1999 to be as direct as the Lord Jesus was in his speaking. Ye shall die in your sins. And if the reality of that reaches those of us who speak, and if it reaches each soul that hears the message tonight, you will understand there is nothing in all the world more important than this. Is it possible that if I were to meet death tonight, I would die in my sins? Religious people. But religion won't keep you from dying in your sins. Living a good life will not keep you from dying in your sins. The fact is that every one of us has sinned. We have been adding to the record book of heaven. And really, the most important issue in life is whether during your lifetime you come into the blessing of knowing every one of those sins forgiven, of knowing that the record book of God, which has recorded every sin committed against God, has been cleared of every charge of guilt. I remember in days of studying history, I can actually remember back to those days. They spoke about the Dark Ages. Dark Ages. And you know what was so dark about those Dark Ages? Was people were so otherworldly minded. As if to say the reason that things were dark was because people thought about the next world. I want you to know tonight that notwithstanding that view of history, the most rational thing is this, to recognize there's another world coming. And this life is lived in view of that other world. And it would be a tragedy to have everything right in this world and go into the next world where everything is wrong. The Lord Jesus puts it in a way of which we have been reminded in the singing of our hymn tonight. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You and I are going to another world. How we go is our own choice. We must go. How we go is our own choice. Let me remind you tonight of this certainty. We are going. It might be the younger folks that are here tonight. Or it might be an older friend in the meeting this evening, but we're going. I couldn't help but think of it tonight. I wish my heart were just a little more compassionate so that every February the 14th I would remember this. My wife usually reminds me. February the 14th, the day for sweethearts. It is the day that marks the death of a friend of ours. He left behind a wife and a little girl and a broken-hearted mother and father and sisters and brother. So every day when that tender holiday comes around, it's like a knife in your side. 31 years of age. Healthy. Apparently. He complained about the strange feeling in his head. Nobody seemed to pay too much attention to him. Finally spoke to a friend, a doctor, and he said, I sometimes just feel like I'm up floating around looking at life. And well now, was he just kind of spacey or what was the problem with him? The doctor said to him, look Steve, what you do is this. You'd better see a doctor, and until you're able to get that appointment with the doctor, write down everything that happens. All these sensations you have, write it all down. Keep a journal every day. So he did. He called the doctor and got an appointment for Friday. And kept his record every day of these strange feelings and headaches that came over him and times that he would forget. And he got to the doctor on Friday, but he forgot to take his journal with him. And the doctor examined him carefully and he said, I think you're going through a time of stress, a new job you're doing, and you need muscle relaxers. So he left Friday night with his prescription, got the muscle relaxers Saturday, went out driving with his family, up to shop, back home at night, splitting headache. So sick, his wife, a nurse, didn't know what to do. She called another nurse friend of hers, "What shall I do? Steve is so sick and nothing seems to help him." And before the conversation went any further, Steve began to vomit. She said, "I'm taking him to the hospital," and she hung up, took him to the hospital. They took the x-ray. That Saturday night, they said he must have emergency surgery. Saturday night, early Sunday morning, he's undergoing surgery. He never had another conscious thought. Brain tumors. Sunday morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the 14th of February. The family stood around, watched the vital signs. Oh no, he's going. He's gone. Death comes suddenly, death comes unexpectedly, but death comes. I want to tell you something that, as touching as that story is to me, and there's much more about it that's more deeply touching to me, I am glad tonight that Steve Rocky is home in heaven. What a difference to know that the sins of a past life are all forgiven. What a privilege to speak at that funeral and begin to tell all that gathered, and there were many gathered there, tell them how Steve saved. Just a boy in his teen years, he came to know the Lord Jesus. And what a mercy. How many times have I thought this? How many times did I hear his family say this? What a mercy that Steve didn't wait until he was sick in the hospital. He would never have had time to realize his need and trust the Savior. Death comes, certainly, with the uncertainty that we do not know when. I want to speak to all that are in the meeting tonight. Listen, I'm glad you're healthy. I hope you will have a normal, healthy life if the Lord do not come. But a gathering of people like this has got to represent some that are going unexpectedly. I may be one, or you may be, not interested tonight in the emotional impact of this. I am interested in the serious consideration of this ultimate issue. Where would your soul be if you launched into eternity tonight? Please do not say that will never happen to me. Let me just ask you, what about your soul? What about your eternity? Is it possible there is one sitting in the meeting tonight and it will be tragically true of you, written on your tombstone? It could be put, died in his sin. Died in her sins. No one will put that on the tombstone. No one could bear the reality of it. He shall die in your sins. Let me try, with the help of God, to tell you tonight what it will mean to die in your sins. It means to carry your sins, the accountability of your sins, into the next world, to go into a world where there is no rest, day nor night, to face the relentless wrath of God. I have sometimes tried to extend my thinking into that eternal world, and I must tell you, I am very conscious of this. I have never plumbed the depth of what it is for a soul to be forever tossed upon the ceaseless waves of divine wrath, never to rest, never to have a moment when there is some change of mind, never to have a moment when the fearsome wrath of God for just one moment relaxes. to die in your sins is to go into a world where there is no rest. To go into a realm where there is no comfort. What a telling example the Lord Jesus gives. As he tells us about a man that fared sumptuously every day, he had all that heart could wish. And in a moment he goes into this world where he has died in his sins. And he is pleading for one drop of water. That's not a luxury anywhere, is it? Except in that world. Where there is not the slightest drop of water for a comfort to the soul who dies of sins. Nothing to relieve the pain and anguish. Nothing to relieve the tremendous weight and burden of conscience. To remember what was. To remember the possibility. It may be to remember a gospel meeting like this. And to remember that there was a Sunday school teacher who pleaded with you with tears running down her cheeks. There was a gospel preacher who poured out his heart that you might be reached and saved. And to find that my soul has descended to eternal fire. And there will never come a drop of comfort. Never forever. And perhaps, if I can say it, worst of all, there will never be hope. Never have hope. No prospect that this will ever change. No prospect that somehow or other, somewhere in the future, 1,000 years down the road, somehow or other, God will change his mind. A million years down the road, no possibility that God will say, that's enough suffering for sin. You can now be released from this eternal penitentiary. No hope! T.D.W. Muir wrote the words, no ray of hope shall brighten thy doomed and dark abode. No ray of mercy lighten the overwhelming load. 'Tis unmixed indignation and judgment from God's throne, unmixed by hope or mercy. 'Tis wrath and wrath alone. The supreme tragedy in death, to die in your sins. I can tell you tonight that there's another world to which men and women go. It's a world where there is eternal rest. It's a world where there is eternal comfort. God himself shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. It's a world where there is endless hope. The sun is always rising in the glory land. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad for the value of the precious blood of Christ that has cleansed me from sin. Glad to be able to tell you as you're sitting in the meeting tonight that there is salvation and forgiveness for you just where you are tonight, so that it is not necessary for you to die in your sins. Would to God there were some soul in this meeting tonight awakened to a reality beyond all that we could ever express to you, and longing at this moment to know before you leave this meeting, how can I know I will never die in my sins? You can know that. You can know that tonight. Let me just echo the words with which our brother closed tonight and tell you, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of omnipotence. In your sins, against the God of supreme power. How could I tell you tonight the tremendous story of this triumph through death
Christ died for our sins. This is the heart of the gospel message. This was the heart of the message that Paul preached. This was the heart of the message that the martyrs preached. This is the heart of the message that we are preaching in 1999. No new message to tell you. But this same grand story that Christ died for our sins. And the story is the story of love that brought Him from heaven. Oh, I wish tonight that every heart in this meeting could understand that there's a God in heaven who loves my soul. There's a God in heaven who is deeply concerned lest you should die in your sins. Listen again to the Lord Jesus telling those people, ye shall die in your sins. And understand, He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Understand that God is not willing that any should perish, but He is telling them plainly, lovingly, that they might be awakened. Because He loves them. Because He loves you. And because He longs to deliver you from your sins and their eternal judgment. And in wondrous love, He came from heaven. And every story of love that has caused earthly people to do heroic, courageous things, every story of earthly love is the faintest of pictures of this eternal love. There's no one in your dreams who in your dreams has loved you. Who could love you as much as this Savior loves you. There is no person in your experience, and no matter how wonderful that may have been, there is no person you have ever known who has loved you like this Savior loves you. And I want you to know tonight that this Savior's love is directed towards your ultimate need. He has come to this world so that you would not die in your sins. And you know what that meant for Him? In order that you might not die in your sins, He came that He might die for sins. Now what I'm trying to present to you is simply, it's a one or the other presentation. It is either a matter that you will die in your sins, or you will trust Him who died for your sins, one or the other. And every soul that comes to Calvary and by simple faith, listening to what God says, takes in this glorious message. That one who went to Calvary suffered once for all for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Christ died for the ungodly. And the wondrous truth that He, God, hath made Him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I can tell you tonight, there is no mystery to this great message of the gospel. I will never die in my sins because Christ died for my sins. God has no other way to remove your sins. No other way but through the precious blood of Christ. God is not asking you to add some value to that eternally efficacious work. God is not somehow or other asking you to feel more deeply the value of what Christ did at Calvary. God is presenting to you tonight a record. And He is waiting for you just to simply accept the record He has given you. And this is the gospel message that Paul preached, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Now, I could be totally wrong, but I think there may be someone in this meeting tonight, and if you really realized that salvation is just as simple as this, you would not put it off another night. You would leave tonight with this eternal, infinite blessing. I don't know how to make it more simple.
I don't know how to convey to you more tellingly that salvation is available. Salvation is simple. It is not some great mountain that you must climb. It is either a matter tonight that you will leave this meeting liable to this eternal tragedy of dying in your sins, or you will leave the meeting tonight with no possibility you will ever die in your sins, because those sins were all placed on the Lord Jesus at Calvary. The Lord hath caused to meet upon Him the iniquity of us all. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free, and God, the just, is satisfied to look on Him and pardon me. And could I tell you tonight, there is nothing more than that to God's wonderful salvation. It is all in the story of the cross. It is all in the value of the Savior. It is all through the work that He finished upon the cross. And just tonight, in these closing moments of this meeting, how could a person ever face this choice and make the wrong choice? You face this choice to die in your sins, or to believe the record of God that Christ died for our sins. Leave this meeting tonight freed from the penalty of sin, all because Jesus was wounded for me. God grant you might believe God's record and be delivered from dying in your sins. Let us pray. Our Father, we ask Thy blessing upon the Word of God tonight. We thank Thee for the wonderful truth that is brought before us. A God supreme, exalted, almighty, kindly giving breath to rebel sinners. We pray there may be some in the meeting tonight to realize how very sensitive, how very vulnerable their condition is, sinning against the God who controls every breath. We pray that the hand of God may touch souls in the meeting tonight. We cannot affect this, but it does thrill us, our God, to know that in Thy mighty power, Thou art able to reach each soul in this gathering tonight. Thou art able to awaken, and Thou alone art able to save. We pray Thy rich blessing upon souls in the meeting tonight. We thank Thee for a Savior with outstretched arms, wounded hands, wounded for sin at Calvary. We pray there will be souls drawn to Him for salvation even tonight. Bless wherever the Word of God has been preached. Bless Thy Word, we humbly ask this evening, praying in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 100 is our closing hymn. Hymn number 100. I stand before the wounded Lamb, the lowly Savior crucified, and I repeat with thankful heart, it was for me the Savior died. Verses 1 and 3 of hymn number 100, and we do thank you again for being with us tonight. Now, this is a Sunday night, but we are continuing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and we would like you to come each night if you can, for one reason. We would like you to be saved. You could be saved tonight. And we do trust, even while we sing these words, their truth will dawn on some heart, that you will receive the Savior even tonight. Verses 1 and 3 and number 100.